Okay, so I'm going to start recording.
Welcome to, are we ready?
Yep.
Welcome to the January 5th meeting of the Midway Water Advisory Board. We have Brent Kelly representing Midway Irrigation, and we have Rush Cole representing the Midway Irrigation Company. We got Andy Gorland representing Midway City, and Mayor Simons will represent Midway City. We have it set up so we got two and two, so we'll never, and typically the mayor and the president of the irrigation company don't vote. And we have two and two, we have an impasse and it goes to the irrigation board and the city council to resolve the issue. So this is an advisory board. Our first item on the agenda is the general consent agenda, and it covers the agenda for tonight, the minutes for August 4th, and the appointment of the chairman and co-chair, and approve the meeting dates.
Did you guys have any questions on the meeting dates?
We're still going to continue the first Monday of the month.
Yeah, first Monday of the month. And we'd have a meeting every month except in September, because it's on Labor Day. Other than that, you'll have one every month, if needed.
If we need them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've been, things have slowed down considerably.
Yeah, it has.
Maybe we ought to look at it and every do it quarterly.
Yeah.
Or as needed.
As needed, yeah.
I always put as needed when we do, I cancel a meeting, so.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Can I just ask, even though I wasn't here, two questions on the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Motion, irrigation member Brett Kelly made a motion. Mayor Celeste Johnson asked if there were any further questions regarding this matter. There was.
There was not. That's okay. A mistake. Thank you.
Okay. And then keep on going down under, where was it? Under the RLJ small subdivision, the board reviewed the plate.
Plat.
I believe you meant, yeah, plat.
Yep. See, I love.
That's enough plates. Oh. I want to know.
Well, I love that someone's actually reading my minutes. Fall. Thank you. Okay, I'll make those corrections on the minutes.
And I don't know if you want those beforehand or during or.
I don't. You can email me.
I think we can amend the motion to
amend those
include
two.
The correction to the August 4th minutes as presented.
All of to approve minutes with those changes.
We have a motion by Russ. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Brent. All in favor?
Aye.
Any?
I will abstain since I wasn't here.
Well, we have three votes, so that will do it. The next item is the Midway Mitchie Lane State Center. 3508, 3532, what is that?
That's like their code on their, I don't know what it means.
Oh, on their application.
It's on their application. I'm guessing it's their project.
Because I wasn't sure.
I'm guessing it's their project number.
Property number? I wish I knew.
I don't, because the parcel number
I might have even written it down there. But.
Yeah, because the parcel number is different than that number.
Yeah.
So I just took the project name, which was that number 508.
That must be their the 508 would be their project number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't familiar to me. I left it off.
Because there wasn't an address, I just put it on there thinking that maybe that was important. So there you go.
They have a system. I don't know it.
Yes.
So what do they do?
New Stake Center. On Mitchie Lane?
Yeah, I'll go through it right
now. Sorry.
All right, Mike, you want to go ahead and start through it?
Yeah, so the LDS Church has proposed a new church, a new stake center off Mitchie Lane. So they've got 18 acres, and this is on a lot of record. So we're not looking at a subdivision, we're looking at just a lot of record. We handle those a little bit differently than we do a subdivision. We're really just looking at the property that's being developed, not the rest of the field at this point. When they come in and subdivide the property, we'll get the rest of the water rights for the remainder of the property. So we'll go through this. So right now the property is 18.61 acres. Only 4.85 acres will be developed as the church property. The rest will end up being subdivided off and developed as something else at some point in the future.
Kind of looking like it will just remain a field.
It's at least for the time being.
For the time, and
maybe for the long run, that's a possibility.
That'd be nice. We'll see.
Yeah, so the zoning's R115. It is one lot of record that's been...
18 acres, one lot.
One lot, okay. That's correct. So site of a future LDS church is a stake center, and stake center is different from a regular church. It uses actually more water, is because of the baptismal font's the main difference. And we pulled historical data here in Midway based off of use of water. And so I'll go through those numbers in a second. It is a conditional use in this zone, so they need to go through that process. It has frontage on Mitchie Lane. We've been working through the access with Michelle. Michelle was the previous architect assigned to this project. I hadn't met Andy until just now. Andrew.
I came to when we talked about the right of way.
Downstairs.
Yes.
Yep.
Many moons ago, yeah.
Yep. Craig Mayer was in there too. Yep.
Yep.
And they'll connect to MSD Sewer, our culinary water line, and also Midway Irrigation Company's secondary water line that's already servicing the property right now. And so this is the 18 and a half acres on Mitchie. We'll zoom in on it.
Rush, you farm that now.
Yep.
Do you access the secondary water from Mitchie Lane, or do you come up from, it's on Mitchie Lane?
Mitchie Lane, yeah. The shut off for everything's in the road right on Mitchie, comes down that east side, and it also is what services the Jerry White properties to the south.
Okay.
So that line runs straight through, and then the risers cut through kind of the middle of the field.
Okay.
You've also got the water, the ditch that runs along the west side that we use to help water the cattle right now. And you've also got kind of the ditch hasn't really been used in years, but also along that east side is still a ditch that catches a lot of overflow water from somewhere.
Well, we can divert that out of the west bundle, or the east bundle. And that's what comes past your house for during the summertime, out of the stake center spring.
So where do you get your water for your cattle? Is it
a ditch? The ditch on the west side.
Because I used to have to go get the cows out and bring them to Bunnell's Edge every morning.
Well, we've advanced.
I know we haven't.
We have a lot of trouble with that ditch on the west, running behind them homes. Mm-hmm. They put the power and the telephone right in our ditch. And it's hard to clean and everything with that there. We might have done a good job, but we have to go in there, and it's flat, so once it makes that turn off Center Street, it don't have much fall. But we just clean it once a year.
Well.
And that picks up a lot of the groundwater that's under the stake center up here.
Yeah.
Well, this ditch in front of across the road from us, that has water that starts at the stake center, I think, down, and it picks up springs all the way down and to where it goes into this property.
Yeah, so the site for the church is this upper northwest corner.
So it's the old baseball field?
Yeah, and potentially future road on that, or access on that right-hand side over here. If this ever develops, the school district has looked at a school there. It could be a subdivision at some point.
I thought the school district bought this property.
No, they haven't.
But I thought we nixed the road.
Yeah, we nixed it on our general plan, so if somebody develops a property, they don't have to build a road based off of our planning for the city, but they could put a road there if they wanted to on their own accord.
So the church is going to build more to the west, not...
Yeah, to stay clear of the property on the right there.
Yeah, so that's the current plan we've got, is on that northwest. We've seen both positions over time, but it looks like this is the one that was submitted with the application.
Yeah, just to give some space. And
so the school district did not buy any property down there?
No, they never did. We've had quite a discussion with them over the years, going back to 2019.
I understood they bought that property.
The church, when they talked to me, said the school had bought that.
Yeah,
they've never subdivided it and created a plat map so they could sell it.
Yeah, they would have had to purchase the whole thing, and it's currently owned by the church.
Right.
So it's a lot of talk, but nothing ever happened.
Well, the hell, they told us they're going to move and build a new elementary school there and tear the other one down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make that a park.
Yeah. We did have a subdivision that went through Planning Commission in 2019 called the Wrangler Subdivision that would have split it into the two pieces. But that, it stopped progressing after a while. When the bond didn't pass in the election, that's when they dropped those plans.
Well, this is the property that John Huntsman used to own, is it not?
No, he owned to the east.
Yeah, this was
Deer Creek.
Yeah, Huntsman is this subdivision right here, Deer Creek
Estates.
Oh,
okay, okay.
Yep. And then we've got the Studdards in the middle right here.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the old Randy Gourlay lot of record that we looked at years ago.
Mm-hmm. We own that other piece.
Where the church is?
No, to the east. We owned 18 acres there.
Oh, before Huntsman bought it?
Uh-huh. Huntsman might have bought it from Mitchell's, because my dad sold it to Mitchell's.
Huh.
And then we bought it around our house.
Huh.
That's where I had to water them cows.
Oh. one of the Kohler boys still owned that piece on the corner.
Yeah, this one's the Kohler piece right here. Still.
Not Doyle family, yep. But Butch family, you know.
We call it Stella Kohler piece, I'm not sure what.
Yeah, well, that's the two brothers, and I think both of them are dead now.
Well, didn't Gary own it too?
No. Gary owns on the other side.
No, Dean and his sister, what was her name? Anyway.
All right, and so. This is a survey of the property right here. I'll keep moving. And is that... So here's the site plan for the stake center. Again, we've worked on access points, so that's what this is showing. Mitchie Lane will need to be modified for that. For the water board, what we're looking at is any area that's not impervious surface, it's going to be irrigated. So that's all of this stuff down here, and over here, and over here, and around the church. And so I've got those numbers, and then we're looking at water usage within the church. And this is some information that Jennifer pulled up a while ago, and it shows our existing churches around town. So we've got the stake center at 165 North Center, and they use about 38,000 gallons per year, which is actually not a lot of water.
It's not.
I mean, so, it's less than most homes would use.
They average 38,000 a year, but 10,000 a month.
So I think, I'm not quite sure
what
the main...
They're allowed 10,000 a month.
So that's what a home is allowed per month. But this is what they're using, is 38,000 at the stake center. And then the church that's at 2nd South and 250 East, they're using 5,700. So churches don't use very much water is what it comes down to.
Only open one day a week, right?
Yeah, there's always people there.
The what?
There's always people in the church.
Yeah.
That's just they use the water.
And so last time when we looked at the Bergie Lane water calculations, we decided to kind of look at this historic use. And that's what the motion basically was. Mm-hmm. And we ended up charging.
I found that when you try to calculate water usage for schools or
yeah.
Or churches or anything like that, it's best to take an average.
Yeah.
Because you look at what the requirements are, and you have to estimate the number of students, and
yeah.
Nothing ever comes out right.
No. It's good that we've got historical data here in Midway, so
but
we can see
what
the stake center's been used.
To pick up the stake centers in Heber.
Yeah. And we did see some numbers from the East Stake Center that you had submitted.
So, I mean, these are pretty much the same building over and over again. So that's where we get our data from, is because we're pretty much, almost literally copy-pasting these buildings. So, the east is the same as the one in Kaysville, as the one in Santaquin, you know, with slight adjustments as the church wants to change standards here and there, but otherwise,
yeah,
practically the same under the hood.
Well, I think we'd be best to keep it in Wasatch County.
Yeah.
And look at them and do an average of the stake centers.
Well, so I'll go through what the recommendation is, and I think it's a very conservative number that we would be getting for this, so we'll see what you think in a second. But it's a 4.85 acre parcel. Most of this is impervious surface, 3.4 acres of it is impervious. So we've got 1.48 acres of irrigated area. So that's 4.4 acre feet. And then for the culinary, and it's approximately 4 drinking fountains, 11 sinks, 4 urinals, 2 toilets, 29 total fixtures, plus the baptismal font. On the Berge Lane, we charge 0.5 acre feet. This one, a bit more because of the baptismal font of 0.8, but you can see that's still 260,000 gallons per year, which is well underneath what the stake center's using. But this is what we normally require for any home in Midway, is 0.8 acre feet. So this is very conserved. There should be a huge cushion if it's 0.8. It still leaves it under two shares at 5.54 acre feet.
And how many shares do they currently have on that parcel?
Probably 18.
They'd have, I think they got over 20. They got more water than they got acreage.
Yeah. This is actually reducing water because there's so much impervious surface on this. So this is a very conservative amount. 0.8, again, is what a normal home connection is, but it looks like it's going to cover the amount needed for the church based off of what the stake center is using just a block from here. So,
yeah, before you finalize it, I'd like to see the numbers on the Heber Stake Centers.
How would I get
that?
So
we're not tying it on one issue.
Yeah.
One usage.
You could probably call someone over. I mean, I bet you Steve's got someone in his phone that you could call.
How do you do it in Mountain Region?
We use the state standards based on square footage, what their outside irrigation, but now going forward you can't have
any problem on the outside irrigation and trying to calculate the internal usage.
Yeah, we use the state standard based on square footage and occupancy.
And I've tried that on schools and churches and they're always about 2 times higher or more.
Yeah, no, they typically are.
Okay.
But we only have culinary, so we don't do it. We have to do both.
So we can gather information. I'm sure you could start gathering that information with us. But, 0.8 acre feet is probably going to be more than enough to cover this thing, regarding the culinary connection.
Are they going to have a 1-inch connection?
So they do want a 2-inch connection. They'll have to pay the impact fees for that, but it won't allow them to use any more water. Okay. They'll still be limited on how much water they can use.
Mm-hmm. Assuming the meter worked.
Yeah, the meter's got to work.
It's gonna work.
I saw that note on the previous
slide. Yeah, that one kind of looked
Yeah, that one didn't work for a long time, apparently. I think it's working now.
It's working now.
Anything else, Mike?
That's all I've got for this presentation.
Any questions from the board?
They got a lot of water.
Yeah, they got a lot of water. Of course, they're building a church up on Gurch's up there. They never had a drop of water. Yeah, so they had to bring water from someplace.
They did, and they've dedicated that to us already. So we've got that water. Yep.
When's that going to be finished?
They were making a lot of progress quickly, and it seems like it's slowed down quite a bit lately up there on Berge. You don't have anything to do with that one?
No, that's not us.
Yeah, that was a different architect for that one.
Mm-hmm. Mike Dean. Trade him the Milk House Spring.
Yeah, he gets the one other guy who does them.
Yeah, that was as dry as it gets on that piece.
A lot of pot rock.
Yeah.
So do we just table this, Steve?
I think we can go ahead and approve it and just have them add the other data to it, unless it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And if it makes a big difference, if we find the stake centers on the east side of the valley using twice as much water, then we can question these numbers.
Even if they use twice as much.
Even twice as much. Twice as much is going to be a lot less than that 0.8.
Yeah.
So it might be dirtier.
He'd have to be a lot more.
They may be dirtier than we are.
Oh, yeah. I think they drink more beer so they don't have to use so much water.
That's right.
Yeah, unless their numbers are way off, we're going to cover what's needed with this amount.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So,
a motion that we recommend approval.
We have a motion by Andy. Second. We have a second. Second by Russell. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? Motion passes.
When's scheduled construction for this?
They were originally planning on 2027, but they mentioned that funding might come up sooner than that to schedule for construction for the spring of this year.
Cool.
I want to get that conditional use permit really quick.
Maybe you guys should just do it next year. Then, you know?
No, we could actually go through that process fairly quickly. So.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a slow one for the Wasatch County one, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd love to see the application. Cool. All right,
yeah.
Thank you guys.
Maybe you could give me a call tomorrow.
It's probably online, right?
Yeah, it's online, yeah. And I can get you there.
Excellent.
I've got another item to present here real quick.
Yes, of course.
Do you want me to run down and get it?
That conditional use
permit? Yeah.
You know, I think I didn't see one on the wall earlier today. You might have to
let
print
me go
it.
Look. Let's see if it's there. Oh, Jeremy's there.
Okay. Okay. Jeremy, can you hear us? Hello, Jeremy. All right, Jeremy. Yeah, we can hear you now. Yep, we're good.
Great. Appreciate you letting me link in remotely here today. So I'm just listening about this church parcel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to start on the next item when, if you're ready, Steve.
We
better wait for Jennifer. Okay. Yeah, it'll just be a minute, Jeremy.
No problem. Thank you.
That was a good turnout you had today for the swearing in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That in
the community center.
The old church.
Yes. Built the chapel.
The old chapel.
We filled it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Michael Jeremy who?
Jeremy Clark.
Don't know him.
Yeah. So Jeremy, he lives up on Cary Lane.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of it. There was an old cabin next to Snake Creek that he remodeled. It looks quite a bit different now. So it's on the south side of Cary Lane.
Okay.
Backing up to the creek. So that's his house. And he's doing the subdivision just to the east of that called Whispering Creek. And that's what we're going to talk about right now.
Okay. So he's not on the camp.
No, he's a... he's an applicant. He's a developer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I can't think of the people who owned the house before he bought it. It was...
I remember them. Do you remember who lived in that Jeremy's house?
That Atwoods.
Atwoods. Woody Atwood.
That's why the house familiar to us.
Yeah.
Yep.
There
you go. Paul Atwood.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, we're done with the first item. All right, let's go to the second item.
Okay, it's my first one of these, so I wasn't sure.
If you want to stay, you can stay.
Okay.
It's totally up to you.
Sounds good. That cookie's been calling my name.
Yeah, get a cookie.
We generally make the end sit here. Except with the rest.
Take two.
Maybe three.
One for the road.
He's got to drive back down the canyon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Where's he got to drive?
5 a.m. skiing this morning, 5 a.m. tomorrow. Got to get well, it's good, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Okay, this is based on a subdivision we approved last summer.
Yeah.
Or two summers.
It might have been 2 summers ago.
It was in March of 2024.
And
that's
it's
the last
actually,
time we looked at it.
And we looked at it initially back in 2020, maybe?
In 2020.
Water requirement. Mm-hmm. And it's at 515 West Cary Lane. And what we're going to do is go through the water calculation again. And then see if there's any, any modifications we need. And if we need to modify it, we need to have it go back to the city council.
Yeah, it'd be a recommendation to city council.
Yeah, a recommendation. If not, if we don't change it, then it's up to the owner if he wants to proceed through the courts or whatever. So, Mike, you want to kind of outline this?
Yeah, I think everybody in this room, maybe Russ wasn't involved with this, but I think you definitely saw this in Planning Commission when it went through, and you've seen it through Water Board.
Yes.
So I think everybody's pretty familiar with this, but Russ knows this place well enough. You know where this is.
Yeah.
And so what we've got is a subdivision on this property. It's 7 lots. And when it went through the Water Board before and the City Council, we followed the same formula that we have for other subdivisions and what's written in the code, that basically anything that's not impervious surface in this area, so we subtract the roads, the sidewalk, a certain amount of area for each of the dwellings, anything else is required to have water, outside irrigation. So including the sensitive lands area, the wetlands, for instance, and I'll go over the code in a second, we included the floodplain area, which is this blue area along Snake Creek on this map. And we have done that for other subdivisions, including Haven Farms down at down south center of the old Price property. And kind of one of the reasons is when people buy these lots, they end up irrigating the entire property. They'll irrigate all the way down to the creek, because that's, you know, they want it to look pretty all the way down to the creek. And so it's hard to tell somebody, hey, don't irrigate in the floodplain or in the waterway, because they'll just start irrigating is what'll happen. And so that's one reason why we've required water rights for the entire lot. And that's really what happened in this situation. And I can go through the calculations here. We did have an older subdivision recorded on this property called the Cosper subdivision. We credited that amount of water. We credited the existing dwelling that's been on that property for a long time. So the Cosper subdivision was 6 acre feet. The existing dwelling is 1.8 acre feet. Credited those things. They had 7 culinary connections, and then they had all the outside irrigation. That came out to, it was 13.9 acre feet for the entire requirement. After the credit, it was 6.4 acre feet. So that's what's required to be turned over to the city for the plat to be recorded. So I think the question that Jeremy's got is, should wetland, should FEMA floodplain, should the waterway have water rights attached to it? And I'll just go over the code real quick before Jeremy makes his case. So this is what our code says right now. This is a 10.07.020 amount of water required. There's 2 points. The first one, areas proposed for development that have delineated wetlands and have been historically irrigated or have had water rights will be required to dedicate water rights to ensure the wetlands can continue to be irrigated. This dates back to Raymond Farms. Raymond Farms had a bunch of wetlands. Our code didn't say this back then. And so we didn't require water rights for those wetlands in Raymond Farms, and that was actually quite a bit of area.
That dried up.
It has dried up, and we're fairly certain that the HOA is going to want to irrigate that, but they don't have water rights for it right now. But because of that, we changed our code to say if there are wetlands, we want to make sure that there's water rights for those wetlands, because we don't know what the future holds, and somebody's going to want to make it look pretty sometime. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing, but the second one, the city reserves the right to require water rights anywhere that the city feels that a future property owner may want to irrigate in the future, even if the property has not been historically irrigated. So this is kind of the catch-all. If we feel like somebody's going to irrigate something, we can require water rights for that. Does it mean we have to do it? No, it doesn't mean we have to do it, but it is in the code that if we want water rights for something because we feel like somebody's going to irrigate it, we can require those water rights. So those are the two things to consider with this. Again, when this went before the Water Board and later before the City Council did say, yeah, let's require water rights for the entire property like we do other subdivisions. So that's history with this one. I do have, Jeremy did bring up leasing water rights from the city. That's another thing we can discuss. It's in the code. I've got the code language for that. But there's broad discretion on the city's part to lease any water. And as of, I don't know where all our new city council members stand on that, but it, with city council members have been in the office for a few years, really the talk has been, let's not lease water for residential, let's not lease water even for commercial, let's lease water maybe for if we need some affordable housing or something along those lines. But you know, that's up to the council's discretion. But that's kind of where we're at right now. We used to lease water to new developments. There are developments like Valais and the Links.
You can count them on one hand.
Yeah, there's not very many, and they're over two decades ago.
Yes.
They are old. And so we've gotten away from leasing for residential, and so that's the route we've taken. We've gotten away from that.
My only concern, Mike, is the Axer stream bed.
Yep.
That natural, it's a natural flowing stream.
Yeah, I think the FEMA maps call it the flood.
It has water in it constantly.
Is that Snake Creek?
Snake Creek.
Okay.
And it in that area, it runs constant.
And so how would you get over to that lot?
Oh, they're going to build a bridge.
Yeah, there'll be a bridge right there.
I see.
Yeah.
So the actual stream bed, I question whether we call that historically irrigated.
Yeah. I think the difficult thing to do is how do you create sprinklers that don't go into that area? It's really hard to be that precise with watering, but that's...
But it can be done.
It can be.
Yeah, it can be done. So any other questions?
Yeah, Jeremy's online. He might.
Can I make a couple comments?
Yes, Jeremy, please do.
Thank you. And Mike, I think that's a great intro. Thank you very much. And as you, I don't know how many of you guys know my situation personally. Our goal with this little subdivision is, you know, we have five children, as you guys know, super hard to kind of create a scenario where we can picture our future family members being able to live in the community. So this isn't, you know, a for-profit venture for us. This is create some lots for our kids that maybe one day they can, you know, be able to, and we're not so naive to think that our kids may want to live by us or their, you know, significant others. But it's kind of one of those just in case situations. So we're gonna have to sell a couple of lots just as the economics sort of behind all the expense, which as you guys know is significant to do a little subdivision. So we think we have to sell two or three of the lots just to cover expenses, but then the rest are just gonna sit. And so to Mike's point about being able to water, no, we understand, you know, I actually installed sprinkler systems in college and have my kids pay for their college installing sprinkler systems. So we feel like we can irrigate pretty accurately, Mike, outside that floodplain and not truly, you know, irrigate the FEMA floodplain that Steve was mentioning. And so, yeah, so that's our point. So I asked Paul Berg to kind of calculate that FEMA floodplain. And so we had to do a small restoration. As you guys know, the creek bed will kind of shift and move over the years. An area in the creek bed that was just constantly muddy all the time that we thought we'd clean up. And of course, and so it's
we've lost you, Jeremy.
Frontier Corp to get, oh.
We lost you on that.
If I get back to
the when you're cleaning up the stream bed.
Yeah. How about now? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, sorry about that. So when we did that restoration, Frontier Corp is the corporation is the wetlands the private wetlands engineer that we hired to help us get it back. And as part of the agreement with Army Corps, that restoration is such that entire area is just constantly wet. That's how they've designed it, so that it's truly a wetlands, even though it, you know, it's far wetter now than when we first purchased the property. So there, we just have to, even if we wanted to irrigate, there's just no need, because the way it's designed, the edge of the creek kind of, again, it's just, it's designed to truly be a wetlands, and so it's just constantly wet. You can kind of walk back there anytime. So yeah, to Steve's point, that was our thought. You know, Steve had mentioned he used to run cattle through there and stuff. So there's a certain amount of the wetlands, especially kind of adjacent to the homestead property that is historically wetlands, but we realized, like, okay, that could dry up. So what I've asked Paul Berg to calculate is just the actual, like, steep bank, you know, that FEMA floodplain that we will not irrigate, that has water flowing through it. And that ends up being, Michael, 0.6 acres. I can get you the exact square footage. I can forward you Paul's email. But that's kind of what we're asking to reconsider the water board is that much of the acreage. And then, yes, to Michael's point, since we're not, and Michael, one other thing. So since those calculations were made, I've been, of course, scouring everyone I know in town, trying to pick up bits and pieces of just our last remaining water shares. We thought we had plenty when we bought it. And so I bought one share, a couple of roughly to just over one more water share is what we need. Not the 6.4, but 3.4. Ends up being, like 2.16 or so. 1.16 or so water shares. It might be just a little under that. But yeah, that'd be wonderful if we're not able to have a list of sort of owners to check and see if someone would be willing. That kind of the community knows we're looking for that last share. And we would still plan to buy that. But in the meantime, it would be nice just to have, some help from the board on just until that share becomes available. Just leasing that last remaining share. Hopefully it'll be lower than that, obviously, after we recalculate if the board is willing to do so.
So in 2020, this board approved 16.73 acre feet. In 2024, it dropped to
6.4
in March of 2024. So what is the request? Is it still 6.4, and how do we go from 16 acre feet to 6.4?
So I can explain the change. Back in the first time we went before the water board, the boundary line between the homestead and Jeremy's property wasn't defined. There was overlapping. And so once that boundary line agreement was signed, Jeremy ended up with less property. And so that's part of the change. And then we also credited the existing cost per subdivision for the water had been turned over on this exact property, and also the existing homes. So those were the two changes, the boundary line for the property and then the credits. So that's why we're down to 6.4.
And I turned in a water share too to decrease that down to 6.4. So the recalculation went from 16 or whatever to about 13. So then you take away the extra square footage in them. And then the water shares that were turned in, that's how we get to 6.4. And now it's down to 3.4 because I've turned in a water share. So it's not the requirement, that it's just the amount that's been turned in. So what's left is just basically just a little over one more water share or 3 acre feet.
So we just got 3 acre feet. We just got 3 acres.
And so there was another share turned in.
I only know of the one share that I just barely got from Mike Kohler.
And so that would be
that's the one
3 acre feet of the
right.
6.4, so
correct.
We're down to 3.4 acre feet,
yes.
That we would need.
Yes.
So how much does he actually need then?
Well,
3.4.
3.4 is where we're at right now, based off of what's been approved.
A share and an eighth or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, and then I'm hoping again with that 0.6 that Paul Berg calculated in the actual, that flowing creek floodplain area that I'm asking the board to reconsider the calculation, yes.
And that took in what? The floodplain?
Yeah, as you look, it's kind of, well, it's just the creek part. He calculated 0.6 acres. Is that floodplain that Michael has on the plat?
So that's the show there. That's the entire blue area on this map. Is that correct?
Yes, because that's where the AD, right? That's where it gets steep. I mean, we can tighten that up, Michael. But that's where it's kind of the steep bank that we don't have any need to irrigate because it's already just kind of wet and steep. So.
That's the FEMA floodplain?
That's the FEMA floodplain.
That's right.
So it's possible part of that could be irrigated, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people irrigate in the FEMA floodplain.
I think the only thing I'd be willing to look at is the actual stream bed itself.
The actual floodway is what they'd call it on the they call it the floodway on the FEMA floodplain maps. You have the floodplain and then the floodway.
You got the actual water course.
It's the fast moving water basically area when there's a flood, not the slow moving, the fast area. Yeah. And that is on the FEMA floodplain map. You've got the floodway and then you've got the floodplain. And the floodplain encompasses everything, but when there's a flood, there's a certain part where the water really moves. Then there's a part where it's just slow moving. And so,
do we know what the difference between those two?
It sounds like it's from what Jeremy said, Paul calculated the floodplain, but not the floodway.
0.6?
0.6.
So we're talking 3.4 to 2.8 to 3.4? Is that what we're talking?
Well, 0.6 would be.
Is it 0.6 or 0.016?
It's 0.6 acres as opposed, which changes the calculation.
0.6 times
3 requires my understanding.
1.8 acre feet is 0.6 acres. And so that would lower.
So we want 3.4 to 1.6.
Yeah, so 6.4 minus the 1.8. That brings it down to 4.6, and every turnover share, that would be 1.6 is what I would bring it down to.
Mm-hmm. I'd be more comfortable, Mike, with the actual waterway calculation taken out.
So because I would ask Paul to the floodway as opposed to
even the floodplain could require water, and we know that from what happened in Raymond Farms.
Yeah.
Now we've got a weed patch.
So calculate the floodway.
Yep. Yeah, and that's on the FEMA floodplain map. So if he could do what he did, he can do what we're asking him to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure.
Yeah.
Because I can read, in 79 years, I've never seen water not running down that waterway.
Yeah.
Because that's before we ever start divert water, other than that little bit out of Snake Creek goes into our staging pond.
So shall we continue this after Paul has recalculated?
Yeah, that we'd have a precise number if you could give us that, and we could see exactly what it is.
The safest thing to do.
I'll make a motion that we continue this until we get the final information and come to the next meeting in February.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Simons and a second by Andy to table this until we get more information and the calculation of the amount of acreage involved in the waterway only.
Floodway, yeah.
Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Hey, thank you everyone, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Okay.
I don't know what that means when it says discussion on culvert approval. I think that was from a previous meeting, so just ignore that part.
Well,
these are taking credit for that.
We want the city to take responsibility for all the culverts that we have trouble with.
Even the ones you don't have trouble with.
That's your birthday wish?
Yeah. That's your birthday wish. There you go.
Well, let's go to old and new business. Anybody got, other than the culvert issue, it is a problem for the irrigation company because we're being people calling it and say, my culvert's plugged. And if we can't plug them, if they're full of lime, we can't get them to go. And it's not really our responsibility because we didn't put them in the ditch. The property owner, in the case of the roads, whoever built the road put them in. Some of these old ones, like around the square and that, that's been so long ago, we just may all have to cooperate to take care of them. But culvert became a big issue to us, and we're taking a stand with the property owners. It's your responsibility.
Yeah.
Speaking for the city, we'll continue to work with you on the square, and we believe that the same thing. It's responsibility of the ownership or the HOA or whomever. So I think if both entities take that same stand, that it makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
Is there anything else? Andy, you got any comments or?
No, sir.
Tell us how it's different than Mountain Regional or? This water, this board was created in 1995. And prior to that, we fought everything the city done, and the city fought everything we were trying to do. We were fighting over the rights of the spring, everything, and I think it was Steve Bridge that finally got it together, and then he got out of the office. And Gene Owens got it, and we sat down and worked out an agreement, a working relationship, and I think it's functioned well for the last 20 years or so. Matter of fact, we've got a lot of communities and irrigation companies phoning the same type of thing. I know Morgan City, it came in, we spent a lot of time helping them. And Cedar Valley, mm-hmm. Cedar Fork, they came and spent a lot of time with us. And it worked well. We have our irrigation board is made up of five people, and we have two large stockholders. We have the city, who is our largest stockholder, and they have over 1,100 shares, I think, now. Hmm. And we have the state, which is our second largest, with 600 shares, 600 plus. And so we give them to permanent seats on the board to be appointed by the city and the state park. That's the reason we only had one election for director Saturday, and that was Grant got elected. And I don't see we have much problem. Mm-hmm. We have some concerns, but that will always happen. With that, we're working on that exchange program. When we put the secondary system in, there were some areas that wasn't justified to cut through this damn plot rock to put our lines in for one or two homes. And so we did not put it into every place, and the people got a little concerned, saying I'm being treated differently than the others. So we worked out with the city that they could be delivered the same amount of irrigation water.
It's culinary.
And that through their culinary system, and they'd be billed for the secondary water. And the coronary water, but they'd never have any overage. Most people that don't on the secondary system on using outside water has considerable overage,
mm-hmm.
and we got to identify that. So I think there's only two or three areas. I think College on the Green, and
yeah, a little bit on Bergie Lane.
A little bit on Bergie that we're
Bergie Lane is where we work with the church, and we're going to put that line in over to Magpie Circle when the church hooks in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we expended about $175,000 to do that. And so down in that cul-de-sac, we'll be able to provide them water.
Yeah.
And
that in Center Street. There was some work on Center Street too.
What, I don't know if we got any on Center Street, do we?
I think it went down to Clover Circle.
Clover Circle.
Yeah, on the north end of Center. Well, it's First West, really, right there.
Yeah.
But
we might have had three or four homes on the top of Center.
Yeah, those ones.
That we didn't.
They're all included now.
Yeah.
So they're off the exchange.
So with the church, are you going to bring the water line over to Pine Canyon and connect that?
We're going to carry to bring it, try to come both ways and loop it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, dead end pipes is not really efficient.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we had a guy at our meeting by the name of Kent Jones who wants to talk about Olympics and what we need to make them provide. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the hell he came from. I don't know who he works for.
Not the Olympic next door to you.
Yeah. Well, he lives on our street.
Did you invite him?
I didn't invite him.
Okay.
I didn't invite him either.
I didn't either.
Is he the one that's been coming in about?
Yeah, but he lives next to Claire.
Entire history on the irrigation.
Oh, he's next to Claire.
South. He's next to Claire on First South. Yeah, over by your place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know him very well.
I think he has more time than.
I think
he talks about.
I think what we ought to do is wait until they get an organizing committee for the area going.
We've already started some of those meetings.
And make sure we got a representative at the end.
2034.
We will.
So Steve, I think one of the biggest things that we need to make sure is
in 2034.
Everything that's in your brain and everything that's in Mike Culver's brain out on a piece of paper or in a computer or something. So we don't lose that. Because you've just rattled off more history in the last 45 minutes. And I've known.
Oh,
he's only started, man.
We should just record it.
Bullshit you forever.
Well, then I believe it. So we're just going to make sure we get all that stuff out. I mean, I've seen more valves on the street that.
But no, it's been a good run. I've been on the board since '79, and served the president since '90, after Dave Wilson passed away. 90 to
no.
26 is what?
36
years. 36 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I had opposition one year.
How old are you, Russ?
How old am I? Yeah. 42. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, 36 years, and I had one guy run against me, and he had a half a share. It was that realtor from Timberlake. So, Justin Craver.
Yeah.
When I worked for the county, Justin Traver, he was...
Where is he?
I don't know, but he was...
I think he moved to Washington or something to be close to his kids.
Or yeah. I remember him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm grateful for this relationship. It's actually, for me, been 2 years of understanding both sides of it, from the city and from the irrigation company. So this is a good thing.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I think we accomplished a lot. And I know the stockholders aren't upset. If they are, they didn't say anything.
No, they were pretty quiet Saturday.
That was a sale and meeting.
Yeah.
I think from my perspective as staff, I think it works really well because we can hear, you know, if there's a ditch or a pipe or something on a property, we make sure that's on the plat for you guys, and it helps us. So.
Yeah.
I think this works really well, having this meeting and discussing it.
We got a little screwed up Dutch Canyon with San Diego and that branch when they did put them on the plat.
Yeah.
And we won't let that happen again. We'll make sure that then we'll be on the plat and there. But no, it's been a good relationship. And I don't know why it should not continue.
It will.
So, that being dead, if there's nothing else, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion to adjourn. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second by Brent. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.